participate in that through Eastern European Mission or EEM. Somebody come on up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is awesome to be back with you guys. This is one of my favorite Sundays of the year. I'll be on the road about 43 Sundays this year, it looks like. And this is one of my favorite places to be, and I don't say that every week. So really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for your partnership with EEM. It means more than I can even put into words to have great partners like you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. What a fun little scene to follow. This is the title of my message this morning. It's for the kids. It's for the kids. We're involved in our spring campaign, which is Bibles for Kids. When you think about Jesus, and you think about Jesus talking to people and teaching and sharing, a lot of times we think of things like when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit and the gentle and the merciful and the peacemakers. And we hear him say, a new command I give you, love one another. And you hear him say, come to me all who are burdened, weary, and I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. We could go on and on with some sayings like this from Jesus. And as he's saying these things, you can kind of, you see maybe a smile on his face. You can hear him saying things and certainly a pleasant look on his face. But sometimes when Jesus spoke, he was, let's just say, unsmiling. Like when he said to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you're snakes, you're vipers, you're hypocrites, you're like whitewashed tombs. Look beautiful on the outside, but inside full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. Not smiling. When he's in the temple, throwing around the tables and whatever. Not smiling. I guess the lesson would be, don't be like the Pharisees and the teacher of the law. And don't turn the house of prayer into a den of thieves, right? Obviously. Good to know. Good lesson. But I want to share with you this morning a passage in which there were both faces. Same scene. Comes from Matthew chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus surprised them as he often did. Called one of these children out to the middle. Brought the child. Now, interesting to me, first of all, the child went right to Jesus. You know, he didn't have to drag him or bring him against his will. Jesus was very approachable to children. Does that tell you anything? Yeah, okay. Anyway, so he has the child, and he calls the child, and he puts him in the midst, and then he says, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child, you see, beautiful child, is the greatest. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. You see the pleasant look on his face? Beautiful scene, lovely child. The next word, though, is but.
Whoops. Sorry. Like our battery went bad.
I have a big mouth, so I don't need a whole lot of amplification. The next word is but, or however. Jesus says, but if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Whoa, that conversation turned on a dime. I'm going to go swimming with this. There we go. Thanks, sir. I'm going to go swimming with that around your neck. What do you think? I can see Jesus arm around the child. He said, whoever receives one like this receives me. And then all of a sudden it turns and goes, you see, kind of wagging his finger. See? But if anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble, better for you to have a millstone hung around your neck and trunk. Not smiling. Smiling, not smiling. Severe warning. I guess the lesson would be take great care to not put stumbling blocks between little ones and Jesus. Man, I wish we were better at that over the last 100 years. But we can start today, right? Take care. Clear the path. Clear the path for little ones to get to Jesus. That's the lesson. Children hold a special place in the heart of Jesus and therefore in the heart of Almighty God. Thus the warning. Jesus loves the little children, right? All the children of the world. And he most certainly does. You can hear it in the passion of that warning. But what if there are children who don't even know who Jesus is, much less that he loves them? What would Jesus' response be to that? What should our response be as followers of Jesus? My response be to that? Well, it better be to find a way to clear the path. Find a way to clear the path for those little ones to get to Jesus. If they've never heard, they don't even know who Jesus is, then we've got our work cut out for us, don't we? Something we can do. Now, that question, what if they've never heard? What if they don't know? Let's walk through this for just a minute, okay? Paul talks about this a little bit in Romans chapter 10. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've never heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How can they believe in the one they've never heard, right? Well, someone needs to bring the good news to these children who've never heard. It's a little like the old story, you know, the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, right? In Acts chapter 8. There's an Ethiopian eunuch guy who's been to Jerusalem. Probably he's driving his chariot from Jerusalem to Gaza. That would be an interesting trip right now. But he's in the Spirit prompts Philip, one of the Christian teachers, to go up to the chariot and approach this guy who's riding the chariot. While he's riding the chariot, he's reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And Philip goes up and says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy said, How can I understand unless somebody helps me understand? And he's reading Isaiah about the suffering servant, prophecy about the Messiah coming. And he didn't really understand. And then Philip, the Bible says, Philip began with that very passage in Isaiah and told him the good news about Jesus. He had never heard it. So Philip told him in the Spirit prompted this meeting, right? We know the rest of the story. The Ethiopian heard the good news, was baptized, and Christ went on his way rejoicing. It's awesome. It's beautiful. Let's just summarize here. There were some very important things that the eunuch did not know, right? But he knew that he did not know. Right? Hang with me here for a second. Things he didn't know, but he knew that he didn't know. So he was seeking. So what did he not know? He didn't know about Jesus. So he needed somebody to tell him, right? Also, he didn't have a New Testament. He had the scroll of Isaiah. He just had the Old Testament. He didn't have a New Testament. In fact, you know, Philip told him about Jesus, but I think if he had a New Testament, actually he could learn more about Jesus than Philip probably told him. I don't think Philip told him all of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So having a New Testament would actually be kind of excellent, you know? Learn more and more about Jesus. Philip gave him all that he needed to know that day to give his life to that one who was prophesying, which was great. But if the eunuch would have had a New Testament, he could learn more. Now, in fact, when Paul wrote that in Romans 10 about how do they believe in one that never heard, well, nobody had a New Testament when Paul wrote that. The New Testament wouldn't be compiled for a couple of hundred years. Okay. They needed a preacher. They needed a teacher. We looked this passage in class, but let's look at it again. Paul wrote in to Timothy, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Scripture is given, and when Scripture is given, it's so that we might be equipped completely, not lacking. Now, it is true that when Paul writes this, like I said, nobody had a New Testament yet, but I believe that the Spirit is breathing into his pen and that the New Testament would be included in this all scripture. No doubt about it. All scripture, New Testament and Old Testament. Okay, so we have on one side preaching and teaching, and on the other side, the Bible. Okay, I'm going to ask a rhetorical question, so don't answer it out loud. Don't answer it out. Which one carries most weight? Okay. Now we know that both of them carry weight, right? Obviously. Both of them carry weight. We know that for the first couple of hundred years, they didn't have a New Testament, like I said. So we know that people were coming to Christ and giving their life to Christ, and the church was growing and doing, the Spirit was moving, right? And nobody had a New Testament. So we know it's possible for someone to come to Christ just by preaching and teaching, not having a Bible. Here's the next question. And don't answer this one out loud. I'll come back to that other question. Is it possible for a person to come in saving faith in Jesus Christ just by being given a Bible? And I am going to go ahead and give you my answer. The answer is, and I give this answer not by speculation, but by observation. At EEM, we have seen this over and over and over again. My answer is absolutely, unequivocally, yes. It happens all the time. What we have learned at EEM, the power is not in the hand of the sower, but in the seed. And the one who touches the seed, that's God, and makes it grow. We're just sowing the seed. The power is in the seed and the God who touches the seed. As God says in Isaiah 55, for as the rain and snow come down from heaven, do not return, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It'll accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent. As I've mentioned, we have seen this over and over again. Let me share with you E.M.'s original story. Some of you heard this, many of you probably haven't. E.E.M. started in 1961, way back in the Cold War days. Berlin Wall was built in 1961. The Eastern European bloc of nations existed, the Iron Curtain between, right? And a group of believers graduated from Abilene Christian, moved to Vienna, Austria, and started smuggling Bibles across the Iron Curtain. While doing that, they met a guy from Hungary. They smuggled Bibles. This guy got a Bible, became a Christian. His name is Ivan Martos. He was an executive in Hungary's national bank. And he traveled a lot by train, actually, traveling from Budapest to Vienna. And so he would come and see our people in Vienna when he would go there. And he was a very happy and jovial man almost all the time. But one time he showed up, this is 5 or 6 years after from knowing him. All of a sudden he showed up and he seemed down. And they asked him, is something wrong? And he shared what had just happened to him on the train. He said, we're on the train and the Soviet guards start coming down the aisle and checking everybody and getting that ticket. And she said, for some reason, it's never happened before, the guard asked for my briefcase. And I gave him the briefcase and he had me open it. And there was my Bible, my own personal Bible. And the guard saw that Bible and he had been trained. He'd been trained. The Bible is illegal. So he grabbed that Bible and he raised it up and he shook his finger at Ivan and he said, he knew Ivan and knew he was an executive in the National Bank. He said, how can a person of your position have a Bible? This is horrible. And he just threw it out the window of the train. No moving train. Ivan had truly lost, you know, a best friend. You know, the EEM could give him another Bible, sure, but this was just that personal Bible that you underline, you make notes, and you know where things are. You know the treasure of your own personal Bible. Fast forward 2 years. 2 years later, Ivan shows up again in Vienna, and this time he's just extra jovial and happy. And they say, well, what in the world's going on? And he told them the story. He said, a few days ago, a package was delivered to my house, and I opened the package. And to my surprise, there was my Bible. It was a letter included in the package. And the letter read, 2 years ago, some of our children in the village were playing along the railroad tracks. They found your Bible. Not knowing what it was, one of them took it to his grandmother, who immediately recognized it as a Bible. Word spread quickly. Some of our older people had possessed a Bible before they were banned and remembered the significance of the Word of God. We decided to conceal the discovery until we could make handwritten copies for them. The joyful task took 2 years. Please forgive our keeping your Bible so long, but you might like to know that we are a secret band of about 30 people who've given their lives to Jesus. We've baptized each other, and we seek to follow him every day. Power of the seed. That guard. The guard thought he was just throwing the Bible out the window, and God said, "But good job, buddy. You're just throwing seed. Watch this. I'm going to touch the seed. There's some hungry souls here, and all they had was a Bible. They didn't have a teacher. Didn't have a preacher. Just the Word of God. And maybe the Holy Spirit. Come back to that. One of our founders, Gwynne Hensley, said this. He said even the USSR recognizes the power of one printed Bible, even if it's separated from any religious teacher. That's why that guard was trained. Get rid of that one Bible. It's just one. Yeah, get rid of it. I told a class this morning about this guy's name, Masood. I remember a conversation vividly with this guy. He and his family are refugees from Afghanistan. They were Muslim, became Christians in Athens. That's a great story. Let me share with that sometime. They are also now leaders in a Persian church that's meeting in Athens. Masood is one of the lead teachers. When we first met Masood, he said that when he received his first Farsi Bible, he read it all the way through in about a month. And then he did it again in about a month. And then he did it again in about a month. And this is from class this morning. He said, after I did that three times, he said, and this is just him and his Bible. He held up his Bible and he shared with us. He said, this book is about Jesus. And then I shared with the class this morning. Now, he said, when I read any part of the Bible, I read it through the lens of Jesus. Wow. Just a Muslim guy reading a Bible. That's it. This is like master's degree level stuff, right? That's huge. Every one of us can learn from that right there. And I get to share that with you right now. Could it be? Could it be that when a Bible is received by a hungry soul, one who is seeking, that the Holy Spirit is involved in teaching? What do you think? Jesus promised, he said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Could it be that this passage is still true today? You can do your head like this. Is that good news?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit today, when you pick up your Bible, and if you are hungry for righteousness, right? Hungry and thirsting. To know God, to know Jesus Christ, hungry and thirsting for truth, that the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, will come down and teach you as you read. Wow. We are seeing this happen, like I said, now for 63 years. From the train story to Masood, and still happening today. Now, I know and I believe with all of my heart that preaching and teaching carry a great deal of weight in the kingdom, or I wouldn't be here doing what I'm doing right now. Obviously, preaching and teaching carry a great deal of weight. However, here's that word again. But, and suddenly Jesus is not smiling. If I ever start putting my preaching and teaching above the Holy Spirit inspired, God breathed Word of God, I've stepped on a very dangerous, very treacherous path. All right. Back to the Ethiopian eunuch. I said the eunuch knew that there were important things that he did not know, but he knew that he didn't know. The question is, what if you don't even know that there's more? What if you don't even know that there's hope, that there's joy, that there's peace, that there's love, really, really genuinely, abundantly available for everyone who seeks? What if you don't even know? In the nations that we serve, in Eastern Europe, Russia, former Yugoslavia, Muslim-dominated nations, people are in the dark and have been for a long time. And that is absolutely the case with the children in those nations. They don't even know that they don't know. Sure, it's easy for us to sit here this morning and talk about this. For a lot of you, at least for me, for sure, just think of my growing up. We are so blessed. So blessed. I mean, I was brought to church. I heard one guy say one time, I was drug up in church. Every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and every other time the doors of the church were open, I was drug up to the church, you know. We began every morning with a devotional and a prayer. I was hearing about Jesus before I could talk. We had multiple Bibles at home. I was deluged with Bible teaching. By the time I was a teenager, I was repeating stories from the Bible like they were second nature to me. I had so much information offered to me. Did I take that for granted? Have we taken things for granted? The access that we have? I suppose it's just human nature to take things for granted, but we got to fight against that, huh? And be thankful. Be thankful, embracing it, thankful for it, and then seeking to give to those who don't have it. Because we know that there's a lot of people in the world that don't have any, none of it. Can you imagine growing up, having all that taken away, all of it, not hearing the stories of Adam and Eve or Noah or Abraham or Moses or David and Goliath, none of it. None of the stories about Jesus with a little child, about Jesus healing, about Jesus dying on a cross, none of it. Generation after generation, none. And then further, children being taught Karl Marx in their schools and being trained and taught and programmed, not knowing the freedom, and not just talking political freedom, but the freedom and the joy and the peace and hope and love found in Jesus Christ. Not even knowing these kinds of things are possible. Essentially being programmed into thinking that the darkness of oppression and limitation and poverty and doldrums are just normal and expected. Can you imagine children being raised in that environment? Okay, let's get back to where we started. We've got to clear the path for children to get to Jesus, right? Put that together with the second part of our study. Basically, we're saying, children who don't have a Bible, need to get, so they can know what they don't know, that Jesus loves them. And that's such a huge part of what we're doing at EDM. And the beautiful thing is we are responding to requests. We are responding to requests for Bibles for the kids. People who have been in the dark for so long are starting to see rays of light and hope and know that maybe freedom, real freedom and peace and joy, all those things you mentioned, are maybe they're possible. And maybe Jesus might be, but they're seeking and they're hungry, but they don't have a Bible. And so we have the opportunity to bring the Word of God, the powerful Word of God, and then the Holy Spirit coming alongside and teaching the children. And now children are growing up, learning about God for the first time.
in 100 years.
I'll just summarize just a few places. Here's an orphanage in Romania. Actually, in the country of Romania, it's actually in a place called Transylvania. I've been practicing that. Yeah. Isn't that fun? We're distributing Bibles to orphans in Transylvania. How fun is this? This is another place, a city in Romania, just right up the road in Salaj. Bibles for kids. In Albania, some of the first Bibles that we've distributed ever in that country. We distributed this last year in Albania. And in Ukraine. We're still distributing Bibles in Ukraine into public schools. It's a little different. Let me share real quickly a story. This is we went to visit several years ago. We went to visit a school in Ukraine where we previously distributed Bibles. You can see me right at the very top. Took a selfie with these students. I'm not the one holding the camera, obviously. They took the selfie. I just got in the back. But Jesus, all these kids. Just beautiful, smart, speaking to me in their third language. Already spoke Ukrainian and Russian and speaking English better than I did. And so excited to have the Bible in their school. So thankful, giving a testimony of what it meant. Took this selfie. It's what their school looks like today. I Googled and found Zhytomyr, where we visited, and just Zhytomyr, Ukraine war, and saw some videos, and suddenly I started, that looks really familiar, and then high school number 25. That's what it looks like today. Do you think we need to still find ways to get Bibles to kids in Ukraine? Maybe even more urgently than ever. And we're still doing that. We'll distribute another 90,000 Bibles in Ukraine this year, mostly into public schools. Also in other parts of Ukraine, this is in Zaporozhye, which is right in the middle of the war, right on the front lines. You see the jackets there, bulletproof. Right on the front lines, distributing Bibles for kids in the Ukraine war. Also, orphans, Ukrainian orphans that were transported out of Ukraine to keep them safe ended up in the Setin, Czech Republic. Ukrainian Bibles in Czech Republic. More Ukrainian language Bibles to Ukrainian orphans in Poland. I could show you hundreds of pictures. Hardest thing is for me to just pick two or three. Hundreds of Ukrainian children in other countries now, and they're getting Bibles at this critical moment in their life. What an honor and a blessing is that God has called us to come alongside and bring them. He said, you want to get in on something? Bring the Bibles and come. We're going, okay, we're coming. We can all sit here in our comfort this morning and just say amen and praise God. Like I said, I could go on. Here's Bibles for the Slovak minority in Croatia, into public schools in Croatia. Bibles for children in Hungary. Bibles for children in Kustanai, Kazakhstan. Everybody knows where Kazakhstan is, right? You have to Google that. It's way out there by China. This year, I've shared with you several years now, Bibles into public schools started in Ukraine. Now that good news is spreading. This year, EEM will distribute Bibles into the public schools of 9 former communist ruled countries. by request, so they can teach Christian values and ethics in their public school using the Bible as a textbook. How ironic. This is happening in Ukraine still, Croatia, Romania, Serbia, Lithuania, Czech Republic, North Macedonia, Bulgaria, and Hungary, 9 different countries. Then I'll show you here that this is a kind of a visual of the scope of our work, the map here. There's a Bible icon in every place that I just mentioned. You can just see the scope of our work. The requests keep flooding in. We're scrambling to keep up. A lot of numbers. I shared with class this morning. Last year, we distributed almost 2 billion volumes, 2 million Bibles, 2 million in 35 countries and in 28 different languages. But sometimes you get caught up in all the big numbers and you miss the one. Just the one. Real quickly, I've got a video I want to share with you. I'm really hoping that it works. Oh, stop it. Can we stop it? Okay, go ahead. Okay. Can you rewind it? Anyway, here's the story. We got a request via mail. A family sent a letter. They found out that we were distributing Bibles in Donetsk, Ukraine. Donetsk is right on the front lines of the war. It's Russian controlled almost all of the city now. And this family lives in Donetsk. And one of our ministries out of Kyiv drove Bibles and distributed to the front lines of the war in Donetsk. And this family found out about it. A neighbor received one. They found out where EEM was. They wrote us a letter and requested the Bible. So we sent them adult Bible. We sent them 5 adult Bibles, 5 teen Bibles, and 5 children's Bibles. They just asked for one. So we sent them these Bibles. And this boy, don't know his name, but she went on our website and responded by email and sent a video. He was so excited. He wanted to thank us. So, okay, run. Okay. Do you feel the hug? That's why Jesus said, you know, there's that one that's lost. Leo's 99. Go find that one. He found the one. That's Jesus for you. He loves the little children. When you give, you're giving to kids like this. We at EEM are committed to avoiding the millstone. No millstone for us, right? This spring, you know, we're seeking to fulfill requests for 570,000 Bibles for kids. And we're going to do that with the help of our partners like you. And we're going to watch God touch that seed and the Holy Spirit teach. We're going to watch amazing things happen. What an awesome thing that we get to partner with. God invites us to get in on this. I believe that Jesus is smiling. Let's pray.
Father, this morning, I'm thinking about those kids right over here on the stage. They are precious in your sight. And they're precious in our sight, too. Father, stir in our hearts and our minds and our wills to clear the path for children to find Jesus. And Father, to never put any stumbling blocks in front of those kids. Open our eyes to see when we do that. And to stop it. Fill our hearts with the love of Jesus himself. That we might look at every one of those kids and see soul. Soul. One that you love, one that Jesus died for, and one that you are seeking. You're asking our help. So we're going to do that, Father. Help us. Help us. Spirit, teach. Speak. Open our minds and our hearts that we might learn. All in the name of Jesus. And amen. This morning, we're going to sing a song in just a minute. If you need to come to Jesus for any reason, come and give your life to him. Be baptized in Christ. Struggling, hurting, you just need somebody to pray with, to pray for you. If you have that kind of need, let's all stand and sing.